I'm Joe Morgenstern, the film critic of the Wall Street Journal. Like all the other X-Men movies before it, X-Men First Class preaches the gospel of mutant pride. But this movie turns out to be a mutant in its own right, a zestful and radical departure from the dreary spawn of a sputtering franchise. It's a prequel, and it draws new energy from super smart casting, plus the shrewd notion of setting the beginnings of the X-Men saga in the early 1960s. That allows the youthful mind-benders, force-fielders, and shape-shifters to reshape the Cold War. It also gives the filmmakers a chance to play with such stylistic signatures of the era as split screens, Rudy Gernreich-like clothes, and the beginnings of James Bond extravagance. The film was directed by Matthew Vaughn, and it begins these beginnings with a preface that takes place in a World War II concentration camp. There, a Nazi monster along the lines of Joseph Mengele takes an interest in a Jewish boy with superpowers. No, not Einstein. He could have been an X-Man, but he was too old. This boy's name is Eric Lencher, and he grows up in no time flat to be played by one of the main strokes of casting genius Michael Fassbender. Eric, of course, will become the symbol of weaponized fury known as Magneto. The fun of prequels is getting to see who everyone was way back when, and the most enjoyable revelations include James McAvoy as the telepathic Charles Xavier and Jennifer Lawrence as the blue-skinned Raven. Kevin Bacon makes a marvelously despicable villain, Sebastian Shaw, while Rose Byrne's CIA agent and January Jones's Emma Frost pop in and out of the proceedings to lesser effect. Getting to see what everyone can do is fun, too, but only up to a point in a repetitive section devoted to recruitment and training. Training sequences always feel familiar, whether the recruits are learning hand-to-hand combat or how to focus their flames and beams on various targets. An especially slow passage is set at a secret CIA installation where too many mutants temporarily spoiled the froth. Still, these young prodigies have to test their powers before they use them, and then grow up and save the world from nuclear annihilation during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Fortunately for the world, they're equal to the task. Fortunately for the film, the missile crisis puts an end to the dramatic lull. Soon as war threatens, X-Men First Class regains its momentum, and then some, with strange Lovian twists like a circular war room and a rogue vessel that can't be reached by radio, and a climax that uses newsreel clips of President Kennedy on TV to lend credibility to an exuberant rearrangement of history. This fifth episode in the series isn't a masterpiece. One puzzlement is the uneven cinematography, but it's summer entertainment of a very high grade, and it leaves you with an appetite for more of the same, with the same core cast. I'm Joe Morgenstern. I'll be back on KCRW next week with more reviews.